Tablet or your phone, and just kind of put a thumb in Matthew, the book of Matthew, and then one in the book of Hebrews. We'll be there in just a moment. But launching a brand new series today called Sitting on Suitcases, and you can see the various weekly themes down below there: destination, anticipation, navigation, and goodbyes. And every one of us, we've been there. We've either been there because we've done it, or we've been there because we've seen it. We have sat on our suitcase, just kind of waiting for the journey to continue, or we have seen someone else do it in an airport, perhaps, or waiting for a cab or something like that, sitting on suitcases. Sitting on suitcases is all about the journey that you and I are on. I'm going to be talking about that over the next number of weeks and the various parts of that journey. You and I are on the same journey. We're on the same journey. Sitting on suitcases is talking about that, and today we're focusing on the destination of our journey. Next week, we're going to be talking about anticipation, or you know, some of the fears that we deal with in this life journey. We're going to talk about navigation, and that week, third week down, is all about what to say when you don't know what to say. You've been in that position, and so have I. What to say when you don't know what to say, and then we're going to talk about saying goodbyes. It's all about life's journey. Sitting on suitcases is also about just kind of pausing for just a moment and considering where you are and where I am in this journey. It's about the journey every human being is on today. Now, I said, and we'll be talking more about that, this journey will lead us in the same direction, one of two directions. And on this life journey, there are a lot of side streets. So there's your career, you know, that's kind of a side street, and there's purpose in life, and there's relationships, and so on. Those are all side streets that take us kind of this way, but in the end, we're headed in the same direction, and that's when life ends. Let's talk about traveling for just a moment. I don't mind telling you, and maybe you'll raise your hand with me, I'm one of the most directionally challenged people that alive today. Who is with me on that? I can get lost when I get away from my home too far away. I love to ride mountain bikes, and so, you know, when I'm out there, my friends will say, look, you've been on this trail, and I say, you know what, I just have no clue. Every trail is new to me. But that's not true for some of you. Some of you, you know, we could take and put you out there right in the middle of nowhere, and guess what? You know where you are, or you'll find your way. How many do we have like that? Raise your hand. See, you're out here too. I hate you for that, okay? but you just know, and I don't know if you're looking at the sun, moon, and stars, but you just absolutely know. Well, all of us relate to either how I am or how these who just raised their hand are. All of us relate in some way to either not knowing or knowing in this life journey. You know, the same thing is true spiritually. Many of us know exactly where we're headed. If you're a follower of Jesus, I pray that you know exactly where you're headed in this journey. But you know, some of us are truly not sure. We're not exactly sure what this path looks like, but we're sure of one thing. It ends. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. Some of us fall into another category, simply hoping it just all works out. We're not really, really sure, but we just hope that it works out in the end. We've read stories, haven't we? You have, I have, about kind of the end of life, and we've read stories about the big light, you know, and the tunnel that someone has gone through, and then they've seen this light, and they have all these warm feelings. You've read those, and have no reason to say those aren't true. We've also read stories about the other, haven't we? About the opposite, where it wasn't that great of an experience. I've attended and performed, I don't know how many funeral services or memorial services. I will tell you this, and you've been there too. There is a completely different feel over a memorial service, or over a funeral service, when you know that person knew. You see, spiritually speaking, we don't have to be directionally challenged at all. I want to give you kind of the big idea for today, and I want you to take it with you. Our destination determines direction. Destination determines direction. Now, some of us are sitting here, no, you got that backwards. Our direction determines our destination. And there's truth there too. But just think about it for just a moment. Our destination determines the direction of our life. As a follower of Jesus, and the knowledge of where my life will end up, That determines my direction in how I spend my money, where I invest my finances. That's what we talk about here. It determines the direction in my life, in my business, in my work life, in my relationship with my wife and with my family, and our relationship together. The knowledge that as a follower of Jesus, my life ends with him, the promise of eternity, makes a difference in the direction that my life takes today. And it makes a difference in the direction of your life. That's why Paul could say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better." What was Paul saying? Couple things. But the last one goes particularly to our point today. Paul's main purpose in living was to do one thing, and that was to glorify Christ. Christ was the absolute essence of his life. Paul knew that if he were martyred, Christ would be glorified. Christ would be honored through the promotion of the gospel, which would result in the story of his death. But Paul would benefit, because at the end of his journey, he was certain that he would be with Christ. When this physical life ended for Paul, he was certain of that. The words "to die" suggest the act of dying and not the state of death. That is to say that Paul was all about the direction of his life and devoted to living out his life for Jesus. He knew where he was headed, but he was devoted to this direction in his life. And so he could say without a doubt that death, true death, physical death, was only gained because it resulted in being with Jesus. Here's what we know. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be very old. You don't have to even have a really high IQ to say this. We can all say it. Our journey on this earth, guess what? Ends. Now, you're here today, so it hasn't ended for you yet, right? Do you know, Karen, let's bring up that website. Do you know that the average age of, well, let's go to the all for just a moment. The average age in America for you and for me, there we are, 81.7, no, that's for females. Let's go to the all, there we go. And 78, is that it? 0.61 years. Now, a lot of us are a long ways away from that. Some of us are a little bit closer to that. Right? And if that were a ruler there, we're kind of nearing kind of the end of the ruler. There's 78 years. And the average age now, obviously, if you're that age, and maybe some of you are, is the older you get, the longer that line is. But for males, and the Washington stats are there, for males, let's see, Washington, number 11, 77.51 years, and the average age of a male is 75.96. Guess what the female stats are? They go which way, up or down? Yeah, okay, let's check it out. There we go. In America, 81.17, and in Washington, where are we? Number 16, 81.73. So women outlive men. But here's the deal. No matter, you know, what that number is, guess what? Life ends for you and for me. And so today we're talking about destination. We're talking about the journey. Hebrews, we're going to go there in just a moment, says this: just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes a judgment. So turn there, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. If you have YouVersion Live going, it's there. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28, coming up on the screen. Just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes a judgment, so also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who eagerly are waiting for him. Now, there are some realities from this passage in Hebrews that we read, and I don't want us to miss. Let's talk about death for just a moment. There's a finality about both man and Christ. Just as each person is destined to die, how many times? Once, and after that comes the judgment. So also Christ died once. Bible says each person is destined to die once, then the judgment. Christ died once. There is a finality about both. However, very different consequences. We're destined to die once, and then there is the judgment. This is something that's not within our control. No matter what you do, No matter how much lotions or whatever you drink, there's nothing you can do to change that. We are destined to die once should Jesus tarry. There's finality about it, and we cannot dispute it. However, this danger or this reality that man dies is completely set aside by the fact that Jesus was sacrificed. He died once, but with a very different consequence. His death, the death of Jesus, accomplishes something. He died to redeem us, to take away our sins, to purchase our freedom, and as a result, we are no longer in bondage, and what we're going to talk about, we'll spend eternity with Him. His death accomplishes something completely different. It brings life. Now, this road or this journey is leading in one of two places for everyone. We're on this life journey. Number one, eternity with Jesus, or number two, eternity without Him. Everyone will spend eternity in one of two places, and we're going to read about them, and we're going to talk a little bit about them today. I mentioned last week that I was going to talk about heaven today, but you can't talk about heaven, I don't think, unless we talk about what the opposite is, hell. And Jesus illustrates these two places in Matthew chapter 13. So have your thumb in Matthew? Go to Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 29, where Jesus is telling a story to illustrate exactly what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 29. Here is another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as a worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat and then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce again, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, "Sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from?" "An enemy has done this," the farmer exclaimed. "Should we pull out the weeds?" they asked. "No," he replied, "you'll uproot the wheat if you do." Now, a little bit later, Jesus was asked, "Could you please explain this story or this parable to us?" And so in Matthew 13, down at verse 36, he does that, and through verse 43. Let's take a look at it. "Then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, 'Please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field.' And Jesus replied, 'The Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world, and the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world." By the way, that's the end of the journey, if we're still alive. "And the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and should understand." When we talk about destination, God's word, the Bible, is absolutely clear that heaven is for real, but so is a place of eternal punishment, and that place is called and described as hell. Now, we'll talk about that for just a moment. I will tell you that the topic of hell is not one of the most popular topics today. I mean, if you go to work and you sit down, you grab your cup of coffee and say, "Let's talk about hell," that probably isn't going to get you too far at all, is it? You know, if you go home and you sit down with your wife, if you're married or your family, say, let's just talk about hell. I mean, it's not a very popular topic to talk about, and it's not a very easy one to understand. It's also not an easy one to proclaim. To stand here today and to talk about this place of eternal separation, we don't want anyone to go to hell. And that's why Jesus came and died once for us. He died on the cross for our sins. That's why we do what we do here at Gateway. When we talk about feeding people, we talk about gathering students and gathering children, gathering here on this day. That's why we do what we do, because we recognize that there are people in the world who need to hear about Jesus. And they're in our communities, and they're in our world today, in the places where he has called us. And we're charged with this message to take the good news of the gospel, that Jesus is alive today, that he offers forgiveness of sins, and he offers his brand new life. But there's this place called hell, or eternal separation with him. And we must talk about it. We must proclaim it. There's modern day teaching today that says there is no hell. You don't have to go very far in the bookstore to find a book that says everybody is destined for heaven. That's not true. And one of the things that disturbs me most is there are people who will believe that. And they'll reject Jesus and believe that. And it's just not true. In the final analysis, the Bible teaches us both of God's love available to all, but also about the reality of a final judgment and eternal hell. Hell is a real place, but listen, so is heaven. We're going to talk about that too, but let's talk about this final place of eternal separation for just a moment. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Revelation chapter 20. It's coming up on the screen. Again, it's a new version. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15 describe what takes place. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were open, including the book of life. What we're reading about is the great white throne judgment. We're not talking about judgment today, all judgments, but this was talking about the great white throne judgment where the wicked are judged. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, I know that there are many of us here today who are praying for friends, for relatives, sons, daughters, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, people that we work with, people that we live nearby, because we have a passion to see them come to know Jesus. I had a friend who pastored a church clear down south, and he defined that church's purpose as just one thing, and that was this: to get people to heaven. Not sure how you say it, but we're all about sharing the good news of the gospel that when your life's journey ends, there is a place of eternal separation, but listen, there's a place with Jesus that's called heaven. What we're reading here is this judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment, not to be confused with other judgments that we read in the Bible. The wicked here are all who have rejected Jesus Christ as a Savior who died to make them righteous. They rejected him. What about those, whenever we talk about eternal separation, this question always comes up. What about those who have never heard the gospel? Are they declared wicked because they have never accepted Christ's work of redemption? And what about infants? Let me talk about it for just a moment. Here's what I do know, and here's what I'm confident of, that when a person cries out to God, they cry out to Jesus, in that moment that they trust their life to him, they're immediately brand new people and are with him. That can happen in the moments of a twinkling of an eye. It can happen like that. See, for some of us, we prayed for someone. We're not sure when their life here ended that they're with Jesus. Here's what I can tell you. In their dying moments, if they breathe a word of trusting him, they're with Jesus today. I had a pastor friend years ago. I was actually in a pastor's meeting, and one of my pastor friends was sharing about that very type of thing. They were with people at the end of their life, and you know, in the last moments, dying moments of their life, they placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And what he said was, I'm really glad to know that so-and-so is with Jesus today. I was really disheartened when I heard another pastor friend in that meeting say, I don't think it works that way. Can I tell you something? It does work that way. It does work that way. We'll see that in just a moment. What about those who have never heard the gospel? Are they declared wicked? What about infants? Here's what we do. We trust the judge of all the earth to do right in these matters. We can be assured that God seeks to bring truth to every human alive. To the extent that one responds to the truth he or she receives, God can judge what that person would do with the truth. We trust the judge. The baby who dies without a chance to know truth and respond would certainly not be consigned to hell. We know that a God of love and compassion would do right in these circumstances. We know that to be true. Many have attempted to find some scriptural way to avoid the doctrine of eternal punishment. As far as biblical revelation is concerned, there are only two destinies for human souls. That's what we're talking about today. One is to be with the Lord. The other is to be forever separated in the lake of fire. That fact alone ought to be the thing that motivates every follower of Jesus to carry this good news, the gospel, to the ends of the earth, wherever we go, beginning in our home, beginning in our community, and then in places around the world, that declaring that Jesus has come to set us free from the bondage of death, and there is an eternity with him. Jesus' coming and his completion of the New Testament brought clear teaching about the future state of believers. So if you're a follower of Jesus today, you place your trust in him, there is clear teaching in the Bible of what your eternal destiny looks like. Jesus promised the dying thief a place in what? Paradise. We know that word means a park and suggests surroundings like the Garden of Eden. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 being caught up in paradise. There's a place for you and there's a place for me if you trusted Jesus as your Savior. And it's not eternal separation from him. It's eternity with him. That's good news. Randy Alcorn wrote a book that I consider one of the best books on heaven. We read it as a staff. I want to share with you in just a moment his description of heaven, which he supports in his book. Very often, what we'll do at a time like this is we'll read about heaven in the Bible, and of course, we need to do that. Read about gates and streets and so on. But he takes and puts it into words and into a way that I think each one of us can just grasp today. He says, as I imagine, our first glimpse of heaven will cause us to similarly gasp in amazement and delight. Have you ever found yourself just kind of sitting back thinking about that day, what that day will be like? He goes on, he says, the first gasp will likely be followed by many more as we continually encounter new sights in that endlessly wonderful place. And that will just be the beginning. And then he goes on to describe the new earth that we read about in Revelation chapter 21. And he says, so look out the window. Take a walk. Talk with your friend. Use your God-given skills to paint or draw or build a shed or write a book. But imagine it, all of it, in its original condition. Peter said, we have an inheritance which can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. The happy dog with a wagging tail. It's good news for all you pet lovers who are wondering if dogs and cats and so on are in heaven. Not the snarling beast, beaten and starved, the flowers unwilted, the grass undying, the blue sky without pollution, people smiling and joyful, not angry, depressed and empty. Envision the most beautiful place you've ever been, complete with palm trees, raging rivers, jagged mountains, waterfalls, or snowdrifts. Think of friends or family members who love Jesus and are now with him. Picture them with you, walking together in this place. All of you have powerful bodies, stronger than those of an Olympic decathlete. You are laughing, playing, talking, and reminiscing. You reach up to pick an apple or an orange, and you take a bite. It's so sweet, it's startling. You've never tasted anything so good. And then you see someone coming towards you. It's Jesus with a big smile on his face. You fall to your knees in worship, and he pulls you up and embraces you. At last, you're with the person you were made for, in the place you were made to be. Everywhere you go, there'll be new people and places to enjoy, new things to discover. What's that you smell? A feast. A party's ahead, and you're invited. There's exploration to be done, and you can't wait to get started. You see, at the end of life, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's what awaits you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says this: he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And that's a place called heaven. And if you're a follower of Jesus, that's the end of your journey on this earth. Because when physical life on this earth ends, as a follower of Jesus, it means being in his presence forever and for eternity. See, heaven is not a myth or a mental escape for people who just can't cope with life's realities today. It's real. Can you be sure that you're going there? Yes, you can. Do you have to be spiritually, directionally challenged? No, you don't. We understand and know that sin is missing the mark to fall short of God's holy standards, but we also know that when a person places his or her faith in Jesus, their trust in him, that your destination is sure. It's with him. 1 John 1:9 is my simple pathway that I share with people about how to be sure. 1 John 1:9 just says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we place our trust in him, we're brand new people. In just a moment, we're going to pray. We'll share with you three prayers that I read this past week or a week before, and I want to offer them to you today. And then we're going to pray together. Some of you are praying for friends, family, loved ones, workmates, neighbors, because you know that when this life ends, they won't be with Jesus unless they trust him. And we're going to pray for them in just a moment by name. But let me give you three prayers today. Number one, God, give me a brazen trust in your greatness and your goodness. Give me a trust in you, how great you are, and your goodness. We'll be talking a little bit more about that next week as we talk about anticipation. Some of us live in fear, and the enemy brings fear into our lives. We'll be talking about that next Sunday. Now, prayer number two, give me a humble heart towards the people I will encounter. You see, as we go out from this place, we're going to encounter people who are on life's journey, but they're destined for an eternity without him unless they hear the good news. God, give me a humble heart towards the people I encounter. And third, give me a deep joy that because of Jesus, the best is always yet to come. That's not a cliche. That's not a too good to be true platitude that we kind of toss out there. If you're a follower of Jesus today, listen, the best is yet to come. If you're facing challenges in life today, the best is yet to come. If you're facing hardship and heartache, the best is yet to come if you're one of his followers. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm going to pray. And in front of you, there's a card that has a prayer on it. If you're here today and you're not certain where you're going, you're not sure, maybe you're a little spiritually challenged in direction today, I'm going to invite you to grab that card. As I pray, you just read that prayer on the back of the card. It just says, Jesus, I put my trust in you. I put my faith in you. Make me a brand new person. And as I pray, we're going to do two things today. We're going to give him thanks for the certainty that if we're a follower of Jesus, there's eternity with him. We're going to thank him for that, for his sacrifice on the cross. We're going to do a second thing. It's this. As I pray, I'm going to invite you just to offer up a name of maybe a family member, a relative, or someone that you're working with, someone that you live nearby, someone that you've been praying for. And we're going to pray that the Spirit of God draws that person to himself, and they'll receive Jesus, and he'll use you to share the good news. Can we do that together? Father, I thank you for the reality of a life with you. Thank you, Father, that when we place our trust and our faith in you, in that moment you made us brand new people. And we thank you for the change that you have made in our lives. Where we had no hope, now we have hope. Where we were destined for eternity without you, now when this life ends here on this earth, we'll forever be with you. We're destined for an eternity with you. God, we thank you for that. Thank you for that certainty. Thank you for that reality today. But Father, we pray for those that you have brought into our life, and some of them are our neighbors, and some of them are our workmates, and some of them are our family members, and God, we're lifting them to you. So right now, just lift quietly that name to the Lord all over this place. Whoever you're praying with, just lift them up to you. God, we give them to you. We pray that your Spirit would come alive in their hearts. God, use us to share the good news that you came to set people free, and you've promised an eternal home for all who trust in you. We lift them up to you. Draw them to yourself, we pray. If you're here today and you're spiritually, directionally challenged today, you can make certain of your destiny by praying with me. Father, we give ourselves to you. We trust in you. I give you my life. And I ask you to forgive me and make me a brand new person in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand today?